See, every day is the same thing. In the evening, the newspaper, the way we read the newspaper, there are about 4 sheets of a newspaper, you know, double 3 sheets. There's the front page, the center page, and the last page, something like that. So there's this sheet. So what we do is pass on. Pass through the first page, I have the second page, so and so has the third page, we women there. So as we sit in the sitting room in the evening after supper for this half an hour of reading or radio, so we pass it around. Each time someone passes her share back, her page back, ah, really? It's nauseating. I don't know why I read the next. There's nothing in the papers to read, except all the nauseating news, you see. The accidents and the murders and the fights and the hatreds and the anger. And yet, every day we read it. Nobody's told us to read it, you know. We neither get punishment for not reading nor prize for reading, but every day in the end. So if somebody who has not read asks the paper, you're reluctant to give it. Oh, there's nothing in the paper. You know, there's nothing to read. But you read it. When I was telling the joke this afternoon, oh dear, I don't know, I think I shouldn't say that joke.
We want to hear.
What?
We want to hear. Did you have another joke to say?
Well, it was one of the jokes, because when I told you about Jean Adriel,
yes,
and how she would tell a joke in a drawling a monotone, yes, but she recounted so well, you know, she said about how so-and-so happened. She said with a straight face and a straight voice, but you'd laugh at the end of it, you know. She would deliver a joke very well, even though. So this is one of the jokes, but I'm not so sure that I should say it. I don't know. I mean, I think it's perfectly all right, but there's sometimes I do a thing and I'm told I'm not supposed to say that, and I don't know what it means. And I said, why not? Well, there you go. All right. Anyway, I mean, there's nothing in the thing, and it's so
you won't tell anybody.
it isn't a bad joke. So I mean, it isn't the rotten egg, no. So here, Jean is, anyway, Jean told it to Baba. And Baba chuckled. So here was this lady at a party. They were having this party and she was there, and you know how cocktails are passed and they chat around, stand, talking here, greeting each other, having fun, and each are there. And suddenly, this lady opens her bag, looks in it, and she picks up something else and opens that and looks in it. And she's looking a little worried. And little by little, you know, the attention of the next couple near her, the group, is drawn. They wonder, what is it? What is it that she's looking for? And before you knew it, then she does this, she opens the neckline of her dress and she puts her hand in it. And by that time, you know, more and more people's attention is drawn and they're riveted on her. What is she doing? You know, what is it? And suddenly when she's doing all this and she looks up and finds so many pairs of eyes fixed on her, she said, oh, she said, I'm sure I had 2 when I left home. I love the way there was this frantic discussion and conference and SOS, jokes and jokes. What? They've gone to live with Mayor Baba and they're asking by telegram and all, they want jokes and they rush them. And I still remember the lady who's sitting right here at the back, father's mother, you know, Rhoda Mistry. She was here with us. And it was there for a couple of days, 3-4 days. So there again, we were in Baba's room and Baba turns to her suddenly and says, tell a joke. and we few who are in the room realize that. Realize that this is a desperate case. I mean, she's just, you know, and she's looking at Baba, staring at him like an idiot, you know, going like that. And so we want to help. We know there's this, it's a case of needing help. So we say, Ruda, you know, think of a joke. She turns to us, very frightened, white face. She says, a joke? Yeah, Ruda, joke. We're trying to smile, flipping ourselves. Joke. Puts her hand to her chin, and she starts wringing her hands until she starts pressing her own fingers. Desperate joke. Now, we're sitting up straighter. We really want to help. And we say, Ruda, any funny story would do. Her face brightens up. Any funny story? Yes. Oh. Then she looks down. She puts her chin on her hand. She looks miserable. She wrings her hands. She presses her fingers. Any funny story? Any funny story? And now we're sitting on the edge of the chairs. Rhoda. Any funny incident that happened in the house? Again she blossoms up. Oh. Any funny incident that happens in the house? Yes, Rhoda. Oh, then she looks down, you know, cracking her fingers, wringing her hands, you know, holding her hand to her cheek, one side, then the other. This is a tragic thing that happens. And Baba's waiting. Now, look, now this. So now, we're barely on the edge, even further on the edge, and say, Rhoda, you remember? You remember the incident that happened about your boys on Silence Day? Oh, she blossoms up. You mean that incident that happened on Silence Day? Yeah, that is that Baba would like that. Say. Oh, think that happened. Rhoda, remember the three boys that were sitting on the veranda? Yes. And they were changing the water of the fish bowl. The fish were in the bowl, and they were changing the water on the veranda. All her three boys. And they were on Silence. They were observing Silence. So they were sitting out there. Yes. They were sitting out there changing the water from the fishbowl. Yes. Changing the water from the fishbowl. And right in front was this their neighbor across them who hadn't talked to them or even opened his window that faces their window in 10 years. Suddenly on 10th of July of that year, you know, he bangs open the window, prack, with that sound. And puts his head out, and the three boys look up and say, you know, just stare at him. They can't believe it. This has happened. This never happened before. And he says, tell me, what is the time? And they look at him, stare at him, and then they all three together look down and start changing the water from the fishbowl. Then he says something again. All three pairs of eyes rise up, and they look at him. And he says, all I'm asking is the time. Did you hear me? Time. They just stare at him silently, and then they all three look down. In the end, he just gave a big, you know, loud shout and a thing, and a bang, the window shut. He never opened it again. So I said, you know, that. But all she said, I'm going step by step. And she said, yes. So I told the joke for her, and Baba looked so disgusted. He said, I thought I asked you to tell the joke. And you know what she said? Baba, I even got a joke book. But I'll call for it. I forgot to bring. I'll call for it. And Baba said, what do I want a joke book for? I want you to tell me a joke. And that was the biggest joke. So we all, I mean, that was a joke, that she couldn't tell a joke. So Baba really laughed. And we all laughed. So jokes is a joke is a joke, but not when you tell it to Mary Baba. It can sometimes become a joke. But the way Baba was, you know, telling a, being able to tell a joke to Baba, and Baba accepting or receiving your joke, is such a wonderful experience, because, like, nobody could really accept a joke as fully as Baba can when you give it for him. That joke in itself becomes something so wonderful, like your song. I mean, we hear songs and ghazals on the radio, we hear songs and... But when you hear it sung to Baba, and it's going towards him, that volume of that song, that words, the heart, the voice, and being received by Baba, to watch that, to witness that, It's such a wonderful experience because you see, it's like going to the right place where it belongs. The music belongs to him, laughter belongs to him. So in the same way, when our love from our heart, when you offer it to him, when you give it to him, it goes toward him and he accepts it. It's so different. It's such a wonderful, right thing because it belongs to him. Love only belongs to him. In the same way, obedience. In the same way, your sacrifice, giving up something, doing something which you don't want to do but which he wants, whether it's telling a joke or anything else. But just that, it makes a world of difference when he receives it. Especially when he asks, when he tells you, that receiving, that accepting, that holding is quite different from anything what we ordinarily understand it to be. It's a world of difference. So when we give what belongs to him, where it belongs, then it's a complete thing. Then there is no friction on the way, there are no bumps and hurts and bruises and tears. No. It's because we divert, we are distracted. That is, you see, when you're attracted to the wrong thing, then that means distracted. All that ways, that's what hurts. That why when a thing doesn't go right and because it hurts and pains, it's painful, because it's diverted from where it belongs. It is simply goes straight to where he is. None of these things happen. And that is why I love, one of the best things that Baba said, I love is, be like the swan. Huh? Swan is cheddar?
Huh?
What is the bird that Baba says?
Fly straight like a swan.
Not flit about like a sparrow. When you feel like it, you fly, otherwise you go and all of a sudden cheep, hop about here like the swan. And that purity of the swan, that straight. These things happen. It's not that it cannot happen. But it can only happen as a result of one's longing. You have to long. That is the condition of a thing happening. Just like you have to put something in the ground. You have to put a seed in the ground, in the muck, in the earth, in the manure. But you have to water it. Maybe the water are your tears, as Mirak says. But it has to go down first. But then that is the longing, the yearning, not having on a platter. That all that belongs there. And then the thing comes up. Once you long for it, the moment you have longed for something connected with him, of him, it's already happened. You're never rejected when it is for the real. You're already booked. It's already happened. But it takes time for the receiving. The seed is already put in. For the fruit to come in your hand, it takes time. But we, look at the nerve, we are impatient with him. And look at the patience he has with us. Sometimes I wonder, how can he have that patience? How? Even with his own creation, how does he have patience? With his lovers, how does he have that patience? But then, like Baba himself would gesture for his heart like this. His oceanic heart. Ocean, his heart is the ocean. His love is the ocean. But no, we can't wait any longer. And if we cannot do it the way he wants it, he's patient because it's got to happen sometime, and there's all the time in the world. There are many lives, as Adi would say, better luck next life. Yeah. There's just no end to it. Or as Baba said to a boy who did not come for his darshan for 3 opportunities, and when he came, a young man, he said, caught his ear and says, where did you think you'd escape? And how long did you think you'd escape? Not this darshan, next time. Not this life, next life, lots of time. But you can't escape. Thank God you can't escape God. Once he's got you by the scruff of the neck or his hand on you, you're safe. If we don't struggle. But you see, I was thinking the other day how these how Baba does the taming of the shrew. You all have read that Shakespeare thing? And how Baba tamed the white horse of the new life. That was symbolic of the taming that was to come, the taming of the wild horses named Desire. You know, his taming that, so symbolically what he did with that white horse in the new life, I often would look back and say, yes, in that way, just like the life he had as lead of purity, poverty, obedience, that also is because Baba himself took so personally directed and molded and had that, it's bound to be. So it was like a model, as I often say, and as an architect who is going to build a special construction or a huge building, he first makes a little model. So anything that Baba did, anything is just a model that would then just grow on a universal scale, on a worldwide scale. I'm glad that happened. Because the Baba would say, whenever he said something and the clock struck, he said, see, it's true. It's true. So then it says, no matter how confused, how jumbled, how distressing even the personal lives of the people that one knows, or the situation of the world, the whole human relationship of the structural, the shape of humanity right now, whatever it is, that is also maybe part of the plan, must be. But someday, what he has made as a model, what he has planted, must be. So it will be. Only I wonder if we will remember at that time that we've been through this kind of a world and that. Actually, Baba said to Narina one day, isn't all this that the world is going through now, isn't it worth it for the 700 years of absolute brotherhood, peace, love that is to come? But then, how do we know that we'll remember that or we'll know that? Like when my father would say to my mother, oh, Shireen, the man who's cheated him out of his business, he was talking about him, blessing him and saying, he will have to go through so much. And my mother said, but I won't be there to know that he's going through that. And he's the same one. So what? That's the little difference. But you cannot escape. No. You see, why God lets you have anything you want, lets you do anything you want, really nobody comes and stops you. Unless it's the ones around. I mean, that's in a different way. And for that, what my father would say when I was so little, and I've always remembered it, he said, God says, have what you want, whatever you want, and pay for it. The pain comes after. It's like your wretched credit card, you know. You just call for this and you call for that and suddenly you get the bills. My God, where am I going to pay it from? It scares me.
Did you say
we
paid for it
or pain for it? Ah, I see. Not page for it. It's the same, right? Exact pain and pain.